Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. My name is Penny Lacaso, and I'm the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million women how to flourish on their terms by 2025. The Hacking Happy podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel more of it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each day. If that sounds like something you could use a little more of, let's get started. Hello, beautiful happiness hackers, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Are you in for a treat today? I was inspired to create this podcast because I have had so many prospective and current clients in the past year ask me what credentials they should pursue in order to progress the purpose-led work they seek to do and the impact that they'd love to have. It was out of this constantly being asked, how do I become an expert? How did you become an expert? I want to do what you've done, but just not in the same way. And I'm not sure how to build these expertise. This was the inspiration for today's podcast. I wanted to create a podcast series, or just a podcast, not a series, that explored what credentials are, why they matter more than ever, how to decide which ones are right for you, and why credentials alone are not enough. So welcome. Welcome to How to Become an Expert, but what really is how to determine which credentials to choose for impact, growth, and income. I'm going to start where I always love to start, and that's with perhaps a little bit of a story. Now, 10 years ago, if you are not familiar with me and my work, and perhaps you're new here, well, if you are, welcome. 10 years ago, I had a very different life. My life back then was as an exec in corporate. If back then you had have asked me what my credentials were, I would have said something along the lines of this. I've spent 16 years as an executive working in a global giant. I have experience in managing and leading a multi-million dollar sales business. I have experience in organizational change. I'm trained in ProSci, which is one of the most renowned change management programs globally. I am also experienced in marketing and brand management, and I have a master's in business administration with a major in marketing. That would have been how I would explain to you my credentials. Today, some 10 years into the life that I chose, the life that landed on my doorstep after turning my whole life upside down in pursuit of happiness, my credentials are completely different. And I thought the best way to share them with you would be to read you my speaker bio. Now, this bio is what we send to anyone who is seeking to book me or has booked me for a talk. The reason it's worded the way it is will make a lot of sense as I read it, because the people who invest in a five-figure speaker are looking for someone who is an expert in their field. Let me read this bio, and then we're going to dig a little deeper into this really interesting topic of credentials. Here goes. Penny Lacaso is the world's first happiness hacker on a quest to teach 10 million humans how to flourish in life. Voted one of the most influential female entrepreneurs in Australia, Penny is her own ongoing experiment. A little while back, she turned her life upside down in pursuit of happiness. She left a 16-year career as an executive, relocated her family from Perth back to Melbourne, left an 18-year relationship, and started her own purpose-driven company, Hacking Happy Co. With over 20 years' experience in enabling adaptability, Penny's calling is to empower people to release their fear of uncertainty, find their flow, and flourish. Penny works with governments, corporations, and educators to build a more intentionally adaptable society. She's partnered with the likes of Google, Microsoft, Bookings.com, Salesforce, Deloitte, and Lululemon, to name but a few. Penny's work, creating the world-first intentional adaptability quotient, psychometric tool, and education program, was recently published in the American Consulting Journal of Psychology. Intentional adaptability decodes the skills required to not only navigate but flourish in complex and uncertain change. Alongside Penny's entrepreneurial endeavors, she is a published author of Hacking Happiness, a Harvard Business Review contributor, a passionate yoga teacher, a faculty member at the esteemed Singularity University, and a student of psychology and trauma-informed therapy with world-renowned teacher, Dr. Gabor Maté. Imagine what could be possible for you, your team, or your community if you had a penny in your pocket. So that there, my friends, is my bio. Sounds a little bit different from the credentials I shared with you back in my life as a corporate executive. Now, what I find interesting when I read this out is that if 10 years ago you had have told me that I would have half of these credentials, I would have said you were freaking crazy. I never realized that this was all in my path. But that is the magic of stepping into credentialing with intention and impact at its core. Where it will take you will surprise you, which is why I wanted to create a really simple step-by-step way for you to start exploring credentialing yourself to solidify your expertise if that is something that you are passionate about doing, whether you work for someone else or whether you have your own business and you're growing that purpose-led business. So I wonder, as I read that bio, what credentials you noticed? What were the credentials that stood out to you? Which were the ones that in your mind provided proof points of my expertise and why? I'd actually encourage you to press pause on this podcast for just a moment and reflect on this question, as I am certain it's going to help you as you progress on your credentialing journey and use it for your own benefit. So let me repeat those questions. What credentials in the bio that I just read out of myself did you notice? Which ones struck a chord with you and acted as bigger proof points of my expertise in your mind and why? Just make a note. And then when you're ready, you can come back. All right. Let's start where I love to start. And that's always with a definition to make sure that we truly understand and we're aligned in what we are speaking about here today. What are credentials? What is credential? A credential typically refers to a qualification, achievement, or a certification that an individual or entity has obtained through a formal process. Credentials are usually awarded by some form of recognized institution or authority, and they're based on specific criteria such as education, training, experience, or some sort of exam. Examples of credentials can include, but are not limited to, which we will touch on a little bit more as we go through, academic degrees, professional certifications, licenses, and accreditations. Basically, credentials are tangible proof of a person's skills, knowledge, or expertise in a particular field. What's interesting is that there are other types of credentials that are not covered in that definition, which is a definition I shamelessly borrowed, manipulated a bit from the AI that I used. And then I went and validated it through a few other sources because I like to do that. I like to look at a definition from multiple angles, which is why I wanted to add this little piece. There are many different types of credentials that the standard definition does not cover. And you may have noticed credentials that struck a chord with you when I read out my bio that are not a specific qualification or a degree. Things like doing a TED Talk, working with some of the biggest brands in the world, writing for the Harvard Business Review, getting a book publishing deal, or perhaps having your work published in the American Journal of Psychology Consulting. All of these things that I have done are credentials, but they do not fall under the standard definition of some form of formal training. I want to highlight these because diversity in the credentials that you seek is extremely important if you want to become an expert. Diverse credentials, one, differentiate you in a market that can be highly competitive depending on what field you are in. They show breadth and depth of achievement, of experience, and of knowledge. Now, these types of opportunities are typically selective, okay? And this is why I want to highlight them as credentials. This is what makes them a credential. The fact that they are selective, as the individuals that are chosen to do, for example, a TED Talk or write for Harvard Business Review, people who are chosen for these opportunities are often chosen based on their qualifications, their expertise, and the value of their ideas. Being invited to give a TED Talk or contribute to HBR is a recognition of one's expertise and thought leadership in a specific area, which is why these act in the same way as a degree credential, for example. So they're not the same, but they further provide proof points of the fact that you are an expert, because not everyone gets the opportunity for these opportunities. Here's the thing I want to say, because I understand looking back on my bio some 10 years ago, if someone had read that out to me then, I would have felt overwhelmed, because it does sound like a lot. And to be honest, it has been a lot. It's been a hell of a lot. And I need to acknowledge and recognize that. I'm extremely proud of it, but it is a lot. It's a 10-year journey, which is why I want to say don't feel overwhelmed when you hear a long list of credentials from myself or from, I mean, gosh, there's many other experts in the world that have done amazing things, many, many amazing things. So don't be overwhelmed by the list of credentials. What I want to flag right here and now is perhaps the first lesson of credentialing with intention, with the intent of impact, positive impact on yourself and the lives of others. And that first lesson is that credentialing is a long game, but a worthy one. Credentialing is impactful because it requires effort, it requires persistence, vulnerability, and resilience. Those who realize the benefit of credentialing are those willing to invest in the long game, which for many of us can feel incongruent with so much of the quick fix bullshit that I often talk about that we are sold online these days. Doing a short course on, I don't know, Facebook ads is not going to credential you as an expert in your field. Some interesting evidence around credentials that I wanted to share, because I'm always curious about what the research has to tell us about what we're learning. I must say, I was really curious about this. So I went into my psych academic journals, and here's what I pulled out, which I'm sure you're going to be curious about as well. First up, women are more likely to value credentials than men. Now, if you're wondering why, I think it's obvious when you hear why, but it's something that I'd noticed in my work, but I didn't have an explanation for. Here's what the evidence is. The evidence suggests that women perceive credentials as a means to realize or to close the professional gender equality gap. Women with higher levels of education tend to actually have a smaller gap in earnings compared to men and experience less discrimination than women without qualifications, which I think is a great supporter for why we should continue to credential ourselves in a way that is meaningful and intentional. Credentialism is a real thing, as I've learned from my research, and the term speaks to the known practice of hiring people based on their educational qualifications. Credential inflation is also a real thing and speaks to the dilution of the value of credentials when they are more accessible to the masses. Now, the best example of this would be university education. Now, I'm not diminishing uni education. I definitely think it still has its place, but university degrees are way more accessible today, which is amazing, than they were, say, 30 years ago when our parents were kids. It's easier to get into a university degree than it was back then, even though it can still be challenging. Okay. And so whilst this idea of credential inflation is a real thing, it just means that there's more people out in the marketplace with university degrees. And so when I speak to this concept of diversifying your credentials, it's not to say that a university degree isn't valuable, but if you are going to choose that path, I would be strongly advocating, which is what I'm doing, and I can share more on it in a little while, is actually looking at ways to further credential around that degree to give you a unique bent. Now, the last interesting piece of research on the topic of credentialing that I found and wanted to share, I thought this was fascinating. And the irony of this one is I actually do this. I didn't realize the impact of it. Apparently, there is research to suggest that displaying your credentials in your office or in your Zoom background, if you're, for example, a therapist, has a positive impact on others' judgment of your qualifications and the energy that you give to your work. So I think harness that to your advantage. Make sure if you have any credentials, any certifications, whatever it is, put them in a frame and pop them in your backdrop. Okay. So let's get down now to why credentials matter. Now, I know for me, credentials have always been just a massive part of my learning, my development, and perhaps it's because of my conditioning coming from a corporate background, which is a space that highly regards credentials. To be honest, credentials matter in corporate and they matter hugely. And it's also part of the reason why I've perhaps secured so many corporate clients over the years, because I value this, they value it, and there's an alignment there. And so I have tailored my credentials around being able to secure corporate clients while still doing all of the other amazing work that I love to do. I started investing in credentialing from the moment I started my own business. Because as I said, corporates in particular are sticklers for credentials, especially the giants. And when I say giants, I'm not talking about corporates. A lot of people come to me and they talk about corporates and they're speaking about companies that perhaps employ between 500 and 1,000 people. If you want to work at the really big end of town, so we're talking 10,000 to hundreds of thousands of employees, these guys will want credentials. Here's my take on why credentials matter. Credentials are tangible proof that you have invested in building your expertise. They build trust with prospective clients or employers as they create a marker that you have a solid basis to deliver in your area of expertise. They also build trust with potential collaborators. I go on a lot of podcasts as a guest, which I freaking love to do, based on my credentials. Credentials also can provide, or they definitely provide, depending on how you go about it, a competitive edge, as the more diverse your credentials are, the more uniquely you can position yourself as an expert in your given domain. Credentials can help you advance your career by opening up new opportunities, increasing your earning potential, or what you can charge. They can expand your professional networks by allowing you to connect into new communities based on your expertise. There are a lot of different associations, etc., that you can sign up to when you have certain credentials. For example, for me, I'm now able to be a member of the Australian Psychological Society, which you can only do if you're a psychologist or studying psychology. What are some of the other benefits of credentials? Gosh, the list goes on. I must say, doing this has surprised me, actually, like doing this research and this podcast. It's why I love to do what I do, because I kind of talk a lot about the podcast, slight tangent here, being the university of you. You know, you get to take what your clients, prospective clients say that you're curious about and learn more about it in the service of then empowering others with that knowledge, which is what this podcast is all about. So another benefit of credentialing is in some professions, you can't actually legally operate without certain credentials. And the last thing which I have found the most powerful is credentials provide a basis for you to grow, as they can stretch your mind and your problem-solving abilities in ways you never considered. I know that my trauma and my psych studies have done this for me tenfold. Some of the papers that I have had to write, even just studying something like statistics, which is not my gift, makes me a better human because it's freaking hard. And again, the psychology tells us when we do hard things, we move and our brain, we create neural pathways that then serve us when we learn even harder things in the future. So I just want to take a minute right here and flag something really important, something that I am massively passionate about, and that is credentials alone are not enough. Hey there, let me ask you, are you done with feeling overwhelmed and unsure of where to start when it comes to creating the freedom and flow to work and live on your terms and do it with joy in your heart? You've decided it's time to invest in a coach and fast-track the shift you've been longing to make, but it feels like you're stepping into a world of snake oil sellers. I hear you, and you're right, finding a coach that you connect with that actually delivers on their promise can be hard. So many prospective clients tell me how they've been burned, and it makes me feel ill. It's for all of these reasons I created a simple free cheat sheet to help you find the right coach for you and get the results that you need when it comes to making this shift. Simply DM me the word coach via Instagram at hackinghappy.co and I will shoot you a copy straight away. And now back to the podcast. So yes, I've just reeled off a list of benefits, but I want you to know that credentials alone are not enough. You can never underestimate the value of applied learning, otherwise known as lived experience. I'm going to talk about this more a little later because it is so important, but I just wanted to mention it now so that as you continue on your journey of thinking about what credentials might serve you in terms of your long-term vision, I want you to also think about the value of application as part of your journey. The value of practical application and experience as part of your credentialing journey. So the next thing I want to talk about is how to decide on the right credential for you. Which credential do you want to progress? Or maybe there are multiples. And this was a question that was asked of me when I put the call out on Instagram, sharing with my followers that I wanted to do this podcast. And one of my beautiful humans came back and said this was what she was curious about. And I know it's, oh gosh, if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, should I study this? Should I do that? This is what this little section is designed for you to do. It's designed to help you choose intentionally what feels right for where you want to go, for the expert you want to be, for the impact you want to have, but equally for the way that you want to grow yourself. So where do you start? Well, the first step is to start with why. I want you to ask yourself, why do I want a credential? What is my intention for myself and for the impact I seek to have? It is important to consider a credential from both the lens of the impact on you and the impact on your work and the people that you want to help through your work. Now, the reason for this is if, like me, you are signing up for something that takes a hell of a lot of time. My psych studies are going to end up taking me 6 years. I'm currently 49, or I will be 49 this year. And by the time I finish, I will probably be 51. Okay. You know, considering why I wanted this was pretty important, because when you're signing up for something that is going to take a long time, you want to enjoy the journey. Because if you do not, I guarantee you the credential won't matter because you won't stay the course. So start with why. What is my intention for myself and the impact I seek to have? Why is a credential important? Step two, research. What are all the options available that could help me realize my intention? What are the diverse range of credentials that I could explore to help me solidify my expertise in this domain? I want you to think about a diverse range. I want you to explore all of the options and make a list. If the area is a new area and maybe you don't know what you don't know, which is pretty much all of us, try a Google search. Go and talk to people who you think might have a perspective. Hugely powerful, because you don't want to leave anything off the table. You want to consider all the options. Step three. Whew. I get goosebumps when I think about this step because it is so critical to your success in credentialing. Step three is ask yourself, what sacrifices am I willing to make to realize the impact I seek to have? The reason this is so important is because credentials will come at a cost. And often that cost will be your time, your money, and the opportunities that will arise whilst you've committed your time to doing that thing. Now, the season of life that you are in is equally important. As I said, often ask when is the right time, for example, to go and study a degree. The reality is there is no right time. It really depends on what you have capacity for mentally and are willing to create the space for physically. Change, my friends, is a choice. And trust me, it comes with sacrifice, which is why sitting with the sacrifices you are willing to make is so important. Now, again, if I refer this back to my own studies, so for the last, since the start of this year, I have been studying together my finishing off my trauma therapy studies, which finish next month, thank goodness, and not that I don't love them, and also studying honours in psych, which is a lot, right? So there are massive sacrifices with coming to or credentialing with those two things. And when I say massive sacrifices, my psych studies alone are 20 hours a week. I'm running my own business. I am in a season of life where I have a 14-year-old son, so I have more capacity than perhaps someone who's got two small children under the age of five. But my trauma studies are also probably a few hours a week in terms of commitment, and it's a lot. And it often means that I, if I'm lucky, get one day off a week, and there are sacrifices in terms of the things that I can say yes to socially because a lot of the time I'm studying. That was a conscious choice. It was an intentional one, but I asked myself before I signed up for this journey, what are the sacrifices I am willing to make? Because I knew that change comes with sacrifice. So don't underestimate this step. I would invite you to sit with it for a while because it's going to be really important when you get to the next step, which is step four. Shortlist your options. I want you to draw on your answers from the previous steps and create a list, a short list. When you've created that list of all of your options, I want you to put the pros and cons next to each one so you can shortlist them down to maybe the top two or three. Yeah, so shortlist your options, do a pros and cons against all of the options, the diverse range you came up with, and I want you to shortlist down to the top two or three. I would not have more than three. And if you've only got one, then it's going to make things really easy for you. And there's no problem in having one. The only reason I say have 2 to 3 is because if you've got a diverse range, some of them might be things that you're working to long term in terms of study, something like that, or some form of accreditation, whereas others like TED Talk, writing for Harvard Business Review, might actually be an even longer game and might require a completely different path to realizing those dreams or those credentials. So once you've got your shortlist, we're jumping into step 5. Have conversations. I can't tell you how many of these I have had over the years around the different credentials that I have been passionate about seeking. Reach out to those who have gone before you. Ask them what their experience was like in credentialing in that thing. Is there any advice they may have for you about the journey? How they applied their learning as they learn, and how it has impacted their growth, their impact, and their income. You want to understand from those who have gone before you what it can look and feel like, with the caveat of knowing that this, or what they share with you, is their unique journey. It's not necessarily yours, but it is helpful just to prepare yourself on the range of directions or things that may present that you might not have considered before you step into step 6, which is making a decision. Make your choice and get started. I love, and my dad was the one that, gosh, has been saying this to me since I was a child. I love the saying, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Now, I know that's probably, I think it's a Confucius. I'm not sure where the quote comes from, but I know it's some ancient realm of wisdom. And the reason I love this quote is because by the time you get to this point of making a decision, I think it's important for you to just take a pause and acknowledge the fact that you've already taken a number of steps on your journey of 1,000 miles to getting that credential, because you have started, which then leads into step 7, my last step for this beautiful little process on how to find the right credentials for you and your journey. Step 7, celebrate your progress. I've said it before and I will say it again, motivation is found when we celebrate our progress. Make sure you schedule in micro celebrations as you achieve milestones during your credential journey to help you stay the course. I do one subject in psych every 6 weeks, and at the end of that 6 weeks, I've just finished another block, I book in something to celebrate that milestone. It could be as simple as a camping trip, a massage. It might be a hike, it might be a dinner, but I celebrate it, I acknowledge it, and then I step into the next phase. So hopefully that little step-by-step process was helpful for you. I would love, 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 love to hear from you if you apply it. I'd love to hear where you land. You can always email me, hello@hackinghappy.co, and share with me what came up for you. I would love to hear. We're going to come full circle now and come back to why credentials alone are not enough. I touched on it earlier, but I want to go deep on it now because I want this to sit in your mind as you go through your process of selection, and equally how you apply your journey of credentialing. Credentials alone are not enough because learning without application is knowledge without skill. Learning without application is knowledge without skill. I have met so many what I call self-development junkies, people who have invested loads of cash in credentials but haven't invested the time outside of their course in actually applying those credentials because they don't feel ready yet. Now, granted, if you are a doctor of medicine and you're operating on people, then I can understand why you wouldn't be applying. Okay. But I'm guessing even if you were studying medicine, there would still be ways that you could creatively apply what you are learning without physically impacting people and actually making things positive for people. That would be my guess. If you want to be damn good at what you do, you need both knowledge and skill. I am a huge fan of applied learning where it is possible. And what I mean by this is applying what you're learning in the real world as you go. Let me share with you some of the ways I've applied my learning since I started my psych studies and my trauma studies. And it's funny because I've had lecturers actually say to me, my psych studies, that they've never seen anyone do some of this applied learning that I've done in their course, which I just find gobsmacking because it has further solidified my expertise, even though I am yet to qualify as a psych. So I've published psych papers that I've written with great success on LinkedIn as white papers. One of my favorites was off the back of COVID. I wrote an evidence-based paper on the presence of pervasive burnout in working mums off the back of COVID, and it was very well received. I've sold behavior change programs that I have written as assignments in my psych studies to corporates for five figures. I've practiced my trauma therapy skills with my trauma study peers. I've been doing that for 52 weeks as I learn trauma therapy. I've also had some consenting clients who have come to me and given their time for free so that I can further build my ability. So these are just a couple of examples of how you can creatively apply what you're learning as you're learning so that when you're done with that credential, you actually have skills outside of the knowledge that you've applied that make you great at what you do. So perhaps step eight on your credential journey is asking yourself, what are some of the creative ways I could apply my learnings as I learn? It may not be obvious until you're in it, but trust me, there is so much magic in applying what you're learning as you are learning it outside of your academic environment, if that's the credential you're going down the path of. It is a great way to hone your craft before you're done, build deeper connections and trust with others, and potentially position yourself as an expert prior to your finish date. Now, the last thing I want to say is the more diverse your credentials, the more unique you become. So whilst I've provided a step-by-step guide on which credential to pursue now, the list you created is powerful before you shortlisted, as it provides a basis for you to add to over time. A really good example of this would be one of the credentials in COVID that I wanted to have was my yoga teacher training. I freaking love yoga. I've been doing it for 20 years. I wanted to be able to teach others, especially if I was running a retreat or doing facilitation in a corporate, bringing in breathwork and all of the magic that yoga offers seemed like a wonderful thing to further round out my expertise. So I went and studied it. And then I was like, well, this has been a dream. So if I can do this, what other things would I like to credential in that I don't have yet, that I now have the space to consider? And that was how I landed with psychology. I'd always wanted to study psych, but then I got 10 subjects into psych and not one of them touched on trauma, go figure. And I realized that I could not support my clients fully, my coaching clients, my corporate clients. I couldn't do the work that I wanted to do and do it in the way that I wanted to do it unless I understood trauma and could support people in removing the trauma blocks that hold them back from realizing their potential. So I went through the credentialing process that I have just shared with you and found the amazing work of Dr. Gabor Maté and signed up for his program to get accredited in trauma therapy. These are examples of diversifying your credentialing. I went from yoga teacher training to psych to trauma. And you can already see, one, how that path unfolded, but two, how that makes me unique as a transformation coach, as a mentor to female founders, to executives, and equally as someone who is a facilitator in the realm of flourishing for large corporations. So if you're still with me, it's because you, like me, see this opportunity for credentialing is a long game. Add into your list of credentials that don't require a certificate, some of the things that you could do to further validate your expertise. Be creative. Creative might look like things that help really reinforce your reputation as an expert. It might be a speaking gig you'd love to land, a podcast you'd love to be a guest on, a publication you'd love to do a thought piece on, or maybe a book deal. Whatever it is, add it into your mix and start telling people what you want and why you want it. I've spoken about this many times before, but in case, again, you've missed it or you're new to the podcast, the way in which I have secured some of these non-standard credentials like TED Talks, like writing for Harvard Business Review, is through this magical little process or tool that I have called 100 No's. I'm going to drop the link again in show notes so you can download it and use it for yourself. But it's as simple as this. Basically, you print out a page. It's got 100 no's on it. And your goal is to get out there and ask for all the things you've ever wanted but been too afraid to ask for. It's called rejection therapy. Now, here's the thing. You can't get yeses unless you get no's. And things like TED Talks, Harvard Business Review require you to get no's. It's just the way this stuff works. You've got to keep putting yourself out there. So you put your 100 no's on the wall, you start asking for all the things you've ever wanted but been too afraid to ask for, and every time you get a no, you tick it off. It's a win because it's moving you closer to your goal of 100. And I know that women love to tick things off, but here's what happens. Every no you get moves you closer to a bigger yes. And so some of those exclusive credential opportunities are likely to fall into the yeses that you get as a result of chasing your 100 no's. So jump into the show notes, download that magical little tool, I still use it to this day, and get after your diverse set of credentials. So to close out, an invitation for you. If you're looking for an evidence-backed, no bullshit coach and mentor to help you create your platform for impact through your work, I've got you. Book a breakthrough call via the link in show notes and let me share how I can help through my group and one-on-one coaching programs. I really hope you've enjoyed today as much as I enjoyed creating it. Until next time, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now. Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans just like you to lead wholehearted and flourishing lives. If you enjoyed your listen, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something that resonated from this conversation, I invite you to take a screenshot and share your thoughts on social media. Tag me in so I can respond. If you've got a friend you feel needs to hear this episode, copy and paste the link and drop them a message now. It might be exactly what they need. Until next time, happiness looks good on you.